Welcome to the Estate Professionals Mastermind Podcast, a podcast for estate professionals who earn more, work less, and make a huge difference in their communities. If you get value out of this free content, be sure to check out probatemastery.com, where you can get live classes, access to weekly coaching, and valuable courses. To learn more, visit probatemastery.com. Now let's jump into this week's content.
Welcome to our probatemastery.com weekly real estate coaching program. I'm Bill Gross, and we do this program every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern, and it's recorded. We get together every week to work on, and this is focused more on real estate agents and brokers than investors, but the program overall is inclusive with investors and other vendors. This particular coaching call is really focused more on selling and getting listings. But we could talk about investors as well, because in my experience, working investors is a key part of listing probate property. We get together every week. This is part of the Probate Mastery Program at probatemastery.com is the website. And you have some free material that I always recommend. Start with the free stuff. And then if you want to get certified, something I've done, did years ago. I've actually been certified. I've taken about 4 or 5 different certification programs, because I find the education to be valuable. This is the program, though, that I recommend, because it's not just how to buy data and cold call. This is really about the philosophy, the mental approach, the motivational approach for yourself and the players in the probate business and how to build a business. And then there's other course bundles, and I've taken many of those and paid for those as well. Separately, we have a Facebook group. If you want to continue the conversation, at Estate Professionals Mastermind, .com. You continue the conversation. About 7,000 members nationally. You can post your probate content. You can look for referrals for agents and for attorneys, as well as be up to date on the programs offered by our program. Separately, I host probateweekly.com. That's actually the wrong place for it. Let me see here. Probateweekly.com. And why is that not working? That's a problem. I need to figure out why my Probate Weekly link isn't working. That might explain things. Okay. Anyhow, I do host probateweekly.com. You go to the Facebook group, and we have 3,600 members there. This is my my Facebook group, and I post probate-related content. I did a video today on public auctions you might find interesting, and other people, I encourage you to post your content here as well. So we do that. And if you want more about me, linktr.ee/BillGross. Is where you can find out more information about me. Okay, so this is meant to be interactive. And I'll just tell you that the more you participate, the more you get out of it. This is your chance to ask questions, to share information, share victories, share challenges. And I'm glad to share that as well, but I don't want to take up the whole call myself. I'm just one of you. I'm just a practitioner. I list and sell property in Los Angeles, California. I took a listing on Friday afternoon for about $650,000 probate. And so I'm out looking for listings and property all the time. I also am in escrow, open escrow about 2 weeks ago on a purchase. But that's my focus. And then I also have a team, and I'm building a national team of currently 44 agents across the country. We have agents in Florida, Georgia, looking for, also in Minnesota, looking for other states as well. So if I can help you at all, feel free to jump up, ask questions. Feel free to jump in and share any victories. Feel free to share any challenges you've had that we can maybe work on improving together. So who's got something they'd like to share with us? Anybody? I'm not sure why we have so few people today on the call. Kind of interesting. Anybody want to share kind of why you're here or what you're looking for, how we can help? I will share. I had a couple of thoughts as we were getting ready today. You know, I've been in real estate since 1986, so I've been in real estate for 38 years coming up on, and you know, been through different markets, and we are certainly in a different market. Every market is different, but for agents who are looking to increase their business today, I do want to say there's two things that are different today than a few years ago for sure that you need to be paying attention to if you want to build your business. I think number one is all business is more competitive than it used to be. Every industry is more competitive than it used to be. And that doesn't mean you can't make a living at it. It doesn't mean you can't succeed at it. It just means that whatever you're doing isn't enough to maintain the business in general that you did before. And the most common example I like to use is McDonald's. In 1980, there was a book written called In Search of Excellence. It was a review of the greatest companies in America. And it talked about why they were successful. And it talked about McDonald's. And said McDonald's strength at that time was it a very limited menu they did very well. They only had hamburgers, cheeseburgers, Big Macs, quarter pounders, fries, soft drinks, and shakes. That was it. And apple pies and fish sandwiches. But each item they added was a big deal because it interrupted their operational excellence. And you can see today there's a company like that In-N-Out Burger here in California that has a very limited menu and does a superior job within that limited menu and limited ingredients. But McDonald's couldn't compete with them. They had to go to a broader menu. They had to add coffee and breakfast and other things because the business was more competitive for them. And they couldn't compete with somebody who was better than them at that operational excellence. And I'd say the same is true for real estate agents, that many of us got in the business and for years got enough people just calling us from our past clients of influence that we could continue to do business. For each deal we close, we get one deal or 1.5 deals back, and our business could grow as a result. I don't think that's true anymore. I think that with the increased competition from Zillow and Redfin, companies I really have no respect for at all. I think they're really bad for our economy, bad for our consumers, not just competitors of mine. I have competitors that I can respect. But these companies are slicing off pieces of revenue and business every day. I was talking to a guy yesterday who has a company focused in the military space, and they're trying to work on creating a network of military-focused real estate agents in different markets near bases and such. And he was saying that his niche is too small to interest Zillow, for example. But it might be too small to interest Zillow, but the reality is their consumers are on Zillow, and that is their competition. It doesn't matter how good you are. You can be the most remote air base, I would imagine, or naval base, or marine base in the United States, in maybe the 48 states. And I'm sure buyers are looking at Zillow, and that's the competition. And they're trying to get the pieces around them. And so business is more competitive than ever and getting more competitive all the time. This guy's working on some new technology to help buyers and sellers in the military space. And I said to him, the problem you have is, and you're doing a great job, you have a couple guys, and I appreciate your mission, but Zillow has like a building of people doing the same thing you're trying to do, right? I mean, they'll accidentally spend more than your entire budget, trying to do the same thing. And so that's who we have to focus on. Now, you don't have to compete with Zillow. You have to be aware of them as a competitor, but you have to focus on where do you operate that they cannot compete with you. And so I think the competition is always more going to be more challenging, and that will continue. That pace will speed up, not slow down. And we have to be prepared for that as professionals. So the second point is, well, where do we have a competitive advantage? Well, we have a competitive advantage with people who already know, like, and trust us, right? If Amazon or Google could sell houses as well as me, they'd sell all the houses. They do sell houses better than some of the average agents. That's why there's a Zillow and a Redfin and 50 other smaller versions of those. But they're not as good as me with my clients because my clients know, like, and trust me and want me to handle their business for them. And so we have to play the game where we have the advantage rather than go up against competitors with unlimited pockets. Redfin has never made a profit. Think about that. For you on the phone, how many of you could afford to be in the business? I think they've been around since 2010. How many of you could be in business for 14 years and never make a profit? You can't. That's your competition. So you can compete with them. I'm not saying give up. I'm saying understand that you need to avoid being where they are and be where they're not. And where are they not? And I would say, and this is the thing that I try to encourage agents, there's two places where we can compete. One is going deep, deep, deep in our niche. So we talk about probate, and I'm all for the Probate Master Program, and I'm all for you guys following what we're teaching here. But I want to point out to you that The niche is a probate. Probate is the area. The niche is the area of probate that you're going to focus in. Last week on Thursday on my Probate Weekly, instead of an interview, I did a talk on the 11 ways you can list property in probate. And each of those 11, really, you could sub-niche each one of those. And that's where the money is. It's in those individual areas of probate, not in probate as a whole. Because even probate as a whole, certainly in metro markets, there's a lot of competition. And how do you compete with other agents? I saw in Los Angeles, I couldn't just compete doing probate business. I had to find micro niches that the established players weren't in, to where in my world, I am the probate expert. In their world, they are. Doesn't really matter to me. So thank you, Winston says, you didn't find the emails for the Probate Master. I'm not sure what happened, but thank you so much for pointing that out. I'll talk to the team about that. So number one is you need to be willing to go really deep into a niche. And I think I without repeating my whole talk on Thursday, I talk about 11 different ways you can get listings of probate. And within the 11, for example, one of the 11 is networking. Within networking, you can network with attorneys, you can network with accountants, you can network with fiduciaries, you can network with nurses and senior housing places, salespeople at housing places. You can network with 10 different, individual channels, any one of which, if you did it well, would be a career. Any one of them. Now, I do say you probably have to have two or three different streams of business development going on, but that's two or three within the 11 ways, which would be micro niche. So again, I'm going to challenge you. Yes, you can cold call, and if you start, you don't really know which niche to go in. But I would say look for the opportunity for you to step into an area that you have some advantage in. Number one. Number two, and I know this is a broken record, but gosh, I just hate to see the pain that agents go through when they don't succeed. And so I don't get paid either way. I just want to help you. You want to start with the people that you already know, like, and trust, and already know, like, and trust you. The number one mistake agents make, new agents and experienced agents, is not having that group tied down tight into a foundation and communicate with them regularly, and then add into that communication related to probate or avoiding probate. Probate, obviously, and avoiding probate would be estate planning and the like. Everybody here should be promoting those activities to their current center of influence, sphere of influence. If you're a Keller Williams agent, your Mets, your database, everybody you know, like, and trust, and knows, likes, and trusts you. And that will help you build your content faster. That will help you build your networking faster. But more than that, your first probate deals are inevitably in that group. And that was true for me. As much as I worked going to court, as much as I worked calling on the phone, the best business I ever got were people I'd known for years, but I didn't know they were in the probate market, and they didn't know that's what I did until I told them. So again, those are the two directions I'm going to give everybody here. And I'm sure I give this over and over again. And if it bores you guys, I'm sorry, but I'd rather bore you and have you be frustrated than allow you to fail and not have spoke up. I couldn't live with myself if I saw that happening. So again, one, find your niche, your micro niche, be the expert in your little area, whatever that is, or several little areas. And second, make sure you're the expert in probate and related business with the people that you know, like, and trust. If you start with that, then you can build out from there. Okay, that's my soapbox. I'm gonna get off of it. I know it's the same thing every week, but guy, I just can't believe when people call me and say, "Bill, I watch you every week. I watch your videos. Where do I start?" And I'll say, "Well, do you have a database?" "No, I really don't. I've been in the business 10 years." Okay. Who has a question, comment? You want to disagree with me? Feel free. I'm all for discussion. Who has a victory you want to share? I have a couple big ones, but I don't want this to be about me. Who's got a challenge that they've had that they need some help with? How can I help you guys? Anybody? It's meant to be participative. Anybody? Okay. Thank you. Winston puts his contact. Feel free, anybody in the call, why would you not put your contact info in so we can reach out to you when appropriate? Anybody? Questions, comments? Am I off base here? No? Hey Lou, welcome to the call. Though I don't think our email went out to the group to promote this call today. At least that's what Winston's telling us. And I think he's right because I didn't get it either. If you want to come on the call, let me know. Just unmute yourself and we'll bring you in. But it looks like you're just texting in this. Okay. Okay. Anybody have any questions, comments? Let's hear about my victories, Winston. Well, I sent out a referral that turned out to be a $2.1 million sale, and that's closing escrow next week. That's nice with a key attorney of mine. It was funny. Yesterday, I'm on the phone with my attorney. He says to me, I have to take that call. That's the agent referred the deal to. And I'm thinking, gee, I'm getting my attorney jumping off the phone with me to talk to another agent. So that's a victory. I got a new listing from actually that same attorney, as it turns out. I got another contract coming in from another referral source, which is a repeat. What the biggest thing going on for me is I'll just share the interesting conversation. I will admit that I am. I'm struggling to do everything I'm supposed to do on my plan. I turned 65 in January. I was sick last week, the prior week, 10 days with a little bit of a cold and couldn't work out as much and was tired and such. And so I've always kind of struggled to put the time in, get everything done that I should do on business development. I got all the required stuff done, but I'm behind on my goal is to call five attorneys a day. I have about 250 in my database, and if I call five a day, that's 50 days. So about every 2 or 3 months, I'll get through that list. And these are attorneys I've met or talked to. These are not cold calls. These are all at some level, I did something with them or emailed them or called them about something. And I'm way behind. One of them is a longtime personal friend, long time, like 25 years attorney, who I didn't know did probate until we talked about it 2 years ago. And he referred me three or four nice deals. So I called him up just to say hi. I'm thinking I'm just doing an outreach call. And he asked me a question. He says, do I know somebody who would be a professional fiduciary, right? Which for those who don't know, that means that they're going to act as the petitioner on behalf of the petitioner. The attorney represents the petitioner, but they don't act on behalf. They can't do the work as the petitioner. They could if they're also acting as the fiduciary. Many attorneys don't want to do both, or if they do, they want to charge twice. So they produce hire a professional fiduciary. So this attorney is asking me for a very large estate, a lot of property. Do I know a professional fiduciary who also has a background in property management? So well, it turns out one of my closest friends got his professional fiduciary license, very trustworthy, hardworking guy, great property management company, sold it. So he'd be perfect to do the property management. No real experience in probate, but I'll help him. He's my friend. And the attorney knows me. He knows that I'll help him out with that. So he hires this guy to be the professional fiduciary. It turns out now they're hiring me to be the broker of record as well as to sell the property that has to be sold. So I had no idea all that was going to happen. I help out my friend. I get some listings. I get some other benefits of working with this estate. Just because I called one of the attorneys I was behind on, and actually he called me back. I called and left him a message. Just checking in. He actually called me back. Now, cold calls don't typically call you back, but longtime friends and people you've helped in business do. And he called me really to say, hey, I need your help. Do you know somebody who? And so now I'm involved with this probate estate where the fiduciary is one of my close friends, the attorney is one of my close friends. There's another attorney who I know kind of peripherally as well. What a fun estate to work on. So the moral of the story is make your phone calls. And again, this is directly related to what I told you guys. My specialty is kind of the court process, the court paperwork, court confirmations. And I've helped the attorney that we just talked about. And the other attorney, I'd met him in court. That's how I came to know him. And get the business people that know, like, and trust you. I called this guy. I'd called both these attorneys. I do send postcards only to people in that same group. So attorneys that I've met and talked to, I call those my attorney COI, one of my probate attorney COI. I send out postcards to all attorneys. So I actually, when I tell you the number 250, that's all attorneys, but about 150 are probate attorneys. I have a lot of clients who are attorneys just over the years that I just met socially for whatever reason. My circle just was attorney heavy. But just by calling that group, I got some fantastic business. So again, I guess the victory there is I got the business, but also I'll share with you, that's also what I'm suggesting you guys should be doing, which is work with people who already know, like, and trust you. Okay, Meredith, Las Vegas, Nevada, agent for 17 years in New Jersey. So since you're new to probate, but I imagine that means you're also new to Las Vegas. Welcome. And I know that Vegas is more similar to California probate than most states, as is New York. I don't know New Jersey so well about probate. I can't really speak much about New Jersey in particular. But hello. Okay, so there's a couple of victories, Winston. How's that? I think it's going to be a lot of business. I think it could be $10 million worth of business this next 12 months, just that one account. And I'll say something else. As a result of this, just to talk about victories and nobody else is talking, I'm going to be doing more marketing specifically on portfolios because I don't think anybody really markets to it. I do know there are a couple probate realtors who've gotten portfolios that they've managed, but I don't think any of them talk about, well, what's unique about that? How do you manage the business? How do you manage all the properties? How do you scale up your business? Presumably, if you're busy, how do you add on another 10 or 20 listings? And so I have some, having run large real estate offices, I have virtual assistants, and uniquely being a DXP, I have the ability to bring on people to a project pretty quickly. And I'm going to, not selling you guys on that, but I'm going to be sharing that with attorneys, hopefully to earn more business. And I would love to get more in chunks of that type. Okay, other questions? Comments, challenges, argue, victories, losses. Anybody?
I have a small victory.
Great,
This is
sure.
Paige
Paige,
in
don't count.
Montana.
Hey, Paige, Montana, what's up?
So I have a Facebook group that I really need to do more on it as far as Montana probate group. But I've had a couple of people reach out to me and like, hey, I need help. And more recently, I have met an attorney at some of planning events, things, estate planning and things. And I really like her and stuff. So I have referred these people who have contacted me to her. And now I just need to basically ask her for the business. So for me to reach out to the attorney would be a small victory for myself, instead of sitting here wondering how come the business isn't coming to me, because it doesn't. If I finally make the steps to ask for the business, and that reciprocal business, because I've referred a few people over now, so.
So it's interesting. That's an interesting question. And so you determined to ask her for the business? Is that what you're going to do?
I need to ask her. Yes, we've met a few times. I've asked her a few questions, like technical questions, because I'm a realtor, and I'm like, no, I can't answer that, but I'll find out for you, and then here's the attorney's number, and more recently, it's actually you find out there's a lot of sad cases out there, and this particular mother, found out her son had passed away and had already been cremated by an obituary that was sent out, and that's how she found out her son. And so it was very early in the process, and she didn't know if there was a will, probate, who's handling anything, what should she do? And I'm like, get an attorney, you know, and start looking into things. And yes, there is property, you know, but there was no wife, kids, you know, so it's like, what's going to happen here with this? And so I just need to follow up. You know, I've met the front desk lady, and I said, this lady is going to be calling you. Please keep it, you know, very private, obviously. So ex-husband was involved. So anyway, it's just now a matter of just go in and say, hey, can we meet and on a more, you know, formal basis? And I've come to you a few times, you know, and ask for the business.
I'm not going to say that you're wrong. Can I give you though another alternative perspective?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I think marketing is about positioning yourself. And I want people who want to work with me. And if they don't, there's two possibilities. One is they don't have business, and the other is they're mistakenly choosing somebody else. So I might ask the question, let me back up it. I'll add another piece of information. I do think that 80% of attorneys' probate business comes from real estate agents in general. That's not true of every attorney. But if I had to kind of guess population wide, we think every probate case is a chance for them to hand out a referral. But in reality, I think about 80%, maybe 70, come from real estate agents. And then the other 20 or 30, when the attorney asks the question or suggests a realtor, I think 90% of customers think they know a realtor.
Sure.
Now, I'm not saying therefore give up, and I'm not saying therefore don't get business. I'm just saying that's the landscape that I think we play in as real estate agents. So to me, any attorney that you give business, refer business to, now there's a difference between referring leads that don't convert and referring business they get paid on, two different things. Mm-hmm. There's also a difference between referring them business they get paid on that's difficult and business they get paid on that they really appreciate. Those are also two different things. If you're giving them business they get paid on that they appreciate and they don't refer you back business, there's something wrong with them, right?
Correct.
So you may not want to work with them.
That's true. That is very true.
And because who wants to work with somebody who's not appreciative? It's kind of like being in a marriage relationship. Do you really want, you're dating somebody and they're not showing you appreciation back. Do you want to be married to that person? Probably not. So I think that you'd be careful, you know, in real estate,
sure.
we get a lot of training about, we'll ask for the business and always be closing. I think that was a different time and place. I think that in probate, you have the opportunity to position yourself as a valuable resource. This is my goal. I want to position myself as a valuable resource that the attorney is going to suffer if I'm not handling the real estate for them. They're not going to get me helping them along the way.
That's a very good point.
So that the person who has that position would never ask for business. Right?
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I'm not saying wrong to ask for business. I'm just giving you an alternative perspective to think about. That's why I put out content related to probate. That's why I email out and make sure I include attorneys in that in the, you know, email campaigns and in my Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups and things like that, because I want them to realize I'm not just some real estate agent that they should disrespect. I am a expert in the field that knows more about selling real estate in LA County probate than they do. And I'll give you one other thing. Think about, Paige, how long have you been in real estate?
Almost 4 years now.
Okay. Do you ever have customers who think they know more about selling houses than you do?
Sure.
We all do every day, right? There's nothing more aggravating than the millennial who never bought or sold a house who tells you, well, I just know that you need this picture in front or this or that, as if that's going to make the difference on their overpriced listing, right? And this, I would say that in general, attorneys assume all realtors are idiots and you know nothing. And your job, therefore, is dispel them of that related to you. I would say, well, isn't that great? That's my competition. That's just not me. And so you have to make sure that you stand out from the other realtors so that they go, oh, I really want Paige on my deals because she's an asset. She's part of my team. And so what does that mean? That means you work with their staff. You work with a paralegal. If there's a paralegal, you review the documents. And if you notice something wrong, you bring it to their attention in a proper way, that you help coach the customer so they appreciate the attorney. You're part of the team. And so I believe you do that, then you're going to be seen as a resource, not as, gee, I'm the king handing out favors to my subjects. Oh, I'll give you a listing. I'll give you a listing. I don't want that. I want them to say, Bill, I have a probate. We sell real estate. Are you available to talk to the customer? Like, they're concerned. Am I too busy to talk to them? And by the way, sometimes I am.
Correct. I also did gain a relationship with the mother, I guess you'd say, as far as, you know, can I follow up and check in on you, you know, from time to time and see if everything's going okay, even if she followed up with the attorney, you know, and how that went, you know. And so, and she's going to be traveling here anyhow, and she wants to meet up with me, you know, and thank you for, you know, helping her in the bit that I did, you know. And so I was like, okay, maybe go that route, you know, go straight to, I don't want to say the source, but.
Have they filed their probate case yet?
No, it just happened in January.
And so part of the frustration for attorneys is they talk to customers, then customers don't fill out the paperwork, don't return the paperwork. And we can act as their sales team by following up in a way they're not going to. They're not salespeople. They don't want their staff to be salespeople. But I don't know about you, but my license is I'm a real estate salesperson. So I sell people on getting into action. And to me, selling is not arguing why I'm good and somebody else is bad. It's motivating people to take the action that's going to get them the result they want.
Yeah. This one was the mother wants to be definitely involved in the process. She has obviously been not part of the process of, so her son had a heart attack skiing and was found on the mountain. And like I said, he was cremated before. She didn't know obituary was in the paper.
Wow.
So her ex-husband of 20 years ago didn't want her knowing anything, evidently.
The father.
The father, yes. And she's afraid of him. And so, but he doesn't sound like he's capable. And she said she had found out through a friend or whatever that he had no idea what to do, what the process was, you know. And I just asked, I said, do you know if anyone's even secured the property?
Is the son married?
No, not married, no kids.
So I don't know Montana law. And where did they die? Where did the son die? Skiing?
Whitefish, Montana. Whitefish. Yes.
So in California, you know, either the mother or father or both could file to the probate, and probably the first one to file, the second one probably won't get around to it. And so you encourage her, if she wants control, encourage her to jump in. Now, I don't know the law in Montana. You might want to ask your attorney friend. I'm just curious, as a father and a mother, which one has priority? And he might say, well, the judge decides they both can file. Then we want to encourage her to file right away. And then your job is to help encourage her and say, hey, if you want to get control, you have the opportunity. You just need to file the paperwork.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was my duty of this week, follow up with her. So, yeah. So anyhow, that was my little win, I guess.
Thank you.
It's a win.
Paige, thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay. Joe, I see. I don't know if you were able to unmute or turn on your video. Be glad to go into more detail. You asked the question, do you find that probate attorneys also act as a real estate agent and don't need you to execute the transaction? Great question. So first off, I would say, Joe, that there are a small number of attorneys who are also real estate agents. More common is the attorney has a wife or spouse or child who's an attorney, who's a real estate agent, they want to funnel the deals to, right? Number one. Number two, I think, again, this gets back to if you believe that all real estate agents are basically incompetent, right? What's the average consumer think about the average realtor, Joe? What's the average consumer think about the average realtor?
You're asking my opinion?
Yeah.
Well,
what's the average consumer think about the average
I would say agent? That they have a average to not a great opinion of real estate agents. And, you know, and maybe that's for a bunch of reasons, but
okay.
Yeah.
So you're in Massachusetts, I'm across the country in Los Angeles. My experience is the average consumer thinks the average realtor, not theirs, the average realtor is below average. And the average attorney thinks we are incompetent, the average.
Okay.
So the goal there is, as long as you think the average realtor is below average, then any realtor, i.e. my spouse or my child or me, can do as good a job as you. The challenge is, and those are people hard to work with because they don't appreciate. My experience is the attorney who's also the realtor, there's one exception that comes to mind, but in general, because both those businesses are detailed and involved, very few people can handle both of those at a high level. And neither one can handle the real estate side as well as I do. Now, their attorneys are willing to accept an average real estate experience. Okay, those aren't going to be my customers. I want attorneys who want to have the best resource available for themselves and their clients. And that's what I position myself for. So again, it gets down to, do you just want any business at all? Or do you really want to compete for the business? And I think that you're going to have to compete because again, if it gets down to average, they're going to click on and list the property with Amazon or Google or Facebook. And I think the challenge for us is to say, well, that might work if you're an attorney and you could be an average realtor at the same time, why not? But in probate, you need somebody who's better than average, and that's why I'm here to help. And many attorneys aren't going to hear that. They're just going to look at the commission and go that route. Now, also in California, as an attorney, it's difficult to get the commission for the real estate as well. Yeah. That can be done, but you open yourself up to some challenges along the way that you otherwise would. So most attorneys don't do that, but there are plenty that are greedy, I think, that try to do both and don't serve their customer well. That doesn't come from a, how do I serve the customer best? That usually comes from, how do I make more money? By definition, that's the wrong approach in my book.
Yeah, agreed. I think your approach should be, how can you help the client through the probate process?
Right.
And using all the resources at your disposal, right? Including the probate attorney. So, but, and again, put them, do your job, right? They should be the attorney. They shouldn't be acting as a real estate agent. But again, in Massachusetts, attorneys can execute real estate transactions. So, you know, I'm wondering, in the case of like an estate attorney who, you know, handles the estate for this, you know, family, and then all of a sudden their property, you know, there's a probate issue. You know, again, he's their trusted advisor, right? Why wouldn't I just let my attorney list my property?
Yeah, I think, again, there are going to be people who want to do it themselves, and that's just part of the business. I wouldn't focus on them. We're okay. Looking for the people who appreciate the value that we offer. I do know an attorney in LA who is also a real estate agent, but his attorney business is only related to probate and specifically being a fiduciary for estates as well as selling property. He's very good as an attorney. He's very good as a realtor. I don't think he's as good as me on selling the properties. He's good at working through the probate case stuff because he's an attorney, and he's also very, very good at that. So again, our goal here in a competitive environment is find where we can excel and win more often than not. You're not going to win them all. There'll be plenty of attorneys who are going to want to sell the real estate themselves, but there are plenty that don't, and those are the ones that we're looking for.
Hey, another question, Bill. Are you familiar with the software product Estate Exec?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Give me your thoughts on that as a tool for, you know, I'm looking at it as a value add, right? Something that I can say to a PR or an executor, hey, you know, here's a great tool. You know, I think you should, you know, something you might employ. So it's potentially something that could differentiate me and value that I could bring. Because, by the way, I come from a enterprise software background, and I've sold for 30 plus years in software, and yeah. I'm now embarking on a real estate career. So
I think it's Excuse me. I think it's a great tool. I think it's a great approach. I think, like a lot of things, though, if you're going to do it, you've got to go deep. You have to really know the product.
Yep.
You have to really know their support systems. You have to really know their demos, their videos, and know how it compares to alternatives that attorneys use, because there's several competing products, and as well as there's a service that competes with them. So as long as you know who those are, it, just like when you were a SaaS operator, you have to, you know, it's still a competitive environment. It doesn't limit the competition. It just focuses the competition on one area that if you know it better than everybody else, you're going to win. But I think it's a great, I think it's a great niche. I looked at the product. It's not for me and not for my business, but I think it's a great tool that somebody could use to build a business around.
Yeah, I think, personally, I thought it was something I should buy just for my own estate. It, you know, it's a great tool for monitoring and managing all of your assets. And certainly in the case of an estate where you've got, you know, here's the scenario I'm thinking of, you know, you've got a property that now is in an estate and there are 12 heirs, right? Or six, let's make it easy, six. Well, how do you share all that information about that estate with six people? I mean, this is a perfect way of doing it. Put it all in one place. It's authenticated. It's verified. And bam, you know, you eliminate a lot of that hassle within the family of, you know, well, no, you know, there's this. What about the picture? You know, yada, yada. Right. So I don't know. I just thought it was a good tool for maybe bringing a quicker end to the process, if you will.
Yeah. Again, I think, I mean, I looked into it myself. It was just a little more, you know, complicated than I wanted to get on my own estate. Now my estate's not that complicated. I don't have that many heirs. I have one child who's married and I have two siblings. So it's not such a complicated situation. But again, I can see for some people, it's a great tool. And but again, I think like all tools, and I'm saying this as a guy who I walk into Home Depot and feel masculine, but I don't really know what the heck to do there. But the tool's only good as your knowledge and how to use it. And so it's a great tool, but if you're going to use that for your business, you have to really put the time in to get trained on it. Like I said, you came from the software as a service background, then you're going to know the salespeople who did well with that were the ones who knew the product, they knew the competition, they knew how to demo it, they knew your support staff well. I would say the same thing. If this is what you're going to use, then take a professional approach to it. Don't just think that this tool is going to get you business. It will be a tool you can use to get business, but then you got to do the work.
Yeah, no, I'm not thinking it's a tool that's going to help me get business at all. I'm just thinking of it's a potential value add. That's my thought. Right?
Well, I don't know there's a value add. I think sometimes we throw out value adds and customers don't appreciate them and we wonder why. And the answer is everybody gets approached with so many different things that I would not approach it as something I say, oh, and by the way, how the software, because now you just create another whole rabbit hole for them. I'm in that position. I wouldn't present that to a customer of mine because I can't support that solution. But I do think.
I wouldn't either. I'm just saying, you know, hey, here's something you might want to consider as you're, you know, dealing with your estate, right? Again, it's just it's more of a recommendation or a suggestion. You know, hey, if I could make a dollar selling it, I would try to do that too. But obviously I can't do that. That's a conflict of interest, but you know what I'm saying.
Okay, good.
And hey, by the way, I'm also an EXP agent, by the way.
Nice.
I see that thing in your background, so.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think right there. Yep, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. Nice meeting you.
Okay, you too, Bill. Thanks.
Okay. Winston says this is when experience, knowledge, integrity come into picture. Okay, I think you're right. That's the key. If you're selling and you are distinguishing yourself in the competition, business can be fun and pleasurable. If you're just another agent, you know, closing nonstop and prospecting nonstop, to my way of thinking, it gets a big grind. Not to say that you have to do some of that to get started, but I just think that the more we can position ourselves as a resource to our prospects, the better off our business is. Okay, other questions, comments, victories? Anybody wants to share any victories? Anybody? Man, my probate weekly is not
working. Hey, Bill.
Hi, who's this?
Roger Baldwin.
Hey, Roger Baldwin. What's going on?
Hey, not much. I'll share a little bit with you. You know, you talk about your... Sorry, Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talked about your networking, telling people what you do. I actually had one of those come back to me, you know, just in talking to people day in and day out, telling them what I do. And got a call from, this was a couple of months ago, I met him, you know, realtor. And a couple of days ago, he called me and had a house that was in foreclosure. It had been inherited. And so I've been working with him on that. But, you know, just tell people what you do, give them your contact information, and you never know when they'll get back with you and ask for your help.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not complicated in that sense, that make sure people know what you do. And then I think along the way, show them that you're competent at it too, right? That's part of why the opportunity of social media, it more than just say, hey, I'm a probate expert. If you're in probate, give me a call. Well, what do you do? What do you do different than the other agents? You know, do you go to court ever? Do you have information you can share with them about the probate process or how to avoid the probate process? And as you share the content, then you're going to position yourself. It's a reminder that that's what you do, and they'll be more likely to call you.
So I'm in Florida, and this property is actually, like I say, it's in foreclosure. Apparently, the people had passed away. The wife was the second one to pass away, and apparently disowned their son and daughter and willed it all directly to their grandchildren, two grandchildren. And apparently the grandchildren moved in and haven't made any payments for, I guess, for a couple of years. So that's why it's in foreclosure. And now they're coming up with this VA moratorium. If anybody has anything about that or knows anything about the VA moratorium requesting a stop on foreclosures, I'd be happy to hear about that.
Huh.
Or anybody's
first I've heard
dealt
of that.
With it.
Is a VA loan that
it is a VA loan.
Wow.
And the wife passed away. Apparently the husband passed away a few months prior to, and his estate was never put through probate. So it's probably going to take two probates to close out the property and get it to where somebody can buy it. And I have an attorney that specializes in that, so I think I've got a handle on that. I've just got to deal with the foreclosure mortgage company.
Well, and once you have a probate filed, then you have somebody who can step in and stop the probate, right?
Stop the foreclosure, you mean?
I mean, stop the foreclosure, right? Once you have a
well,
probate
it's in,
filed.
It's in probate right now. It's already in probate. It's been in probate for a few months.
So if somebody's been appointed, then that person could then act to stop the foreclosure. It's difficult before they've been approved to stop the foreclosure, because typically the lender's going to say, well, who are you? Well, I'm the, you know, son. Yeah, but you're not legally speaking on behalf of the estate. But once they're approved, they have letters, then they can contact the lender and speak from authority.
Yeah, unfortunately, the one that's been approved is one of the grandchildren. And I mean, they're of age and everything, but they've been living in a house without making payments. So they really don't have a leg to stand on as far as trying to stop foreclosure, considering they haven't even attempted to make any payments up to this point.
That's one of the challenges, is I think sometimes people get these properties and assume they don't have to make payments. It's not their credit. A lot of different reasons why. And so talking to them, educating them, that's kind of the challenge. That's the opportunity as well.
So do you have any experience with dealing with the foreclosure mortgage companies? For instance, the mortgage company is saying they've got a value of $225,000 against the property. Original mortgage is about $179,000. I figured the decedent's paid down to about $169,000 before they passed. And in the 2 years since then, foregoing any penalties, the mortgage is probably back up to a value of about $180,000, $89,000. But they're saying $225,000. So some sort of court, I guess, court costs, attorney's fees, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Typically, we go for closure.
Have you had any luck in negotiating with them and getting that value down?
Well, it's a short sale, right? At some point, if it's more than the value of the property.
No, it's not. It's not. There's still significant equity available in the property.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is, can you get them down? I mean, it's like any other negotiation. In my experience, no. Unless it's a short sale, they have a lien, they have a legal document, and they're entitled. Now, and the fact that, you know, the estate didn't, you know, make the payments, you know, isn't their fault. So I've not heard of any lender forgoing the foreclosure fees or negotiating that just because they wanted to be fair or nice. And
well, I was thinking of paying them off to prevent them from having to continue through the foreclosure proceedings.
That's what I do sometimes. We get them to, we advance the money and just pay off the loan entirely. It's just cheaper because once it goes foreclosure, they have like a penalty rate. So your former loan at 3% is now at 8% or 9% or higher with fees and such. So the sooner you pay that loan off, the better you are.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay. And Bill, I just want to say thanks for all you do. I know it takes time and we appreciate what you do for us, buddy.
Thanks, Roger. Thanks so much. What part of Florida are you in?
Jacksonville.
Oh, Jacksonville. Very nice. My best friend moved to Jacksonville. I haven't been there to visit him. I was there. I was in Orlando last year. I was in Surfside down in Miami Beach. And I know we're going to be in Miami Beach again in October. So I'm going to try to figure out how to get to Jacksonville, I think, at some point, maybe this summer. So thanks, Roger. Thanks. Always appreciate your help.
Thanks.
Okay, as we wrap up here, any other questions? And Winston says a probate cash advance. The problem for the probate cash advance, Winston, is the average rate, the effective average rate to the customer is like 30-40% interest. So they're better off keeping the mortgage and just bring it current than they are. You can actually borrow money today and get it at 7-8% to an estate. And if the mortgage is in the penalty phase, it might be higher than that. It might be cheaper to pay it off. And then you stop accumulating fees. But yeah, that's a probate cash advance is a great way to buy some time if you just need a chunk of money to stop the foreclosure.
Okay. What about private investor?
Same, better. Usually, I mean, it depends on the terms, right? Some private investors want 10 or 12% interest, which is better than the probate cash advance, not as good as maybe some sort of an estate loan from a more of an institutional type lender. But yeah, private investor, depending on the rate, could be, I've done those and I've got, you know, quotes on a couple right now, as a matter of fact. So definitely. Yeah. Thanks. Who's that? Paige?
Paige in Montana.
Thanks, Paige, Montana. Thanks so much. Okay. Last call, questions, comments, victories, losses, questions, befuddlements. Anybody? No? Okay. Well, I think we've wrapped up, gone long enough. I think we'll wrap up here. I'm Bill Gross at Bill Gross Probate in social media. This is the Probate Mastery Call. We do this every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. You get details at the probatemastery.com website with a free weekly coaching call. And then there you can also get free courses. If you want to get certified, there's a link there for the program, as well as some additional course bundles as well. And then we continue the conversation on the State Master Professionals Mastermind website, where they'll post different content, post new promotions for the company as well. And there's a good place to look for referrals and such. And then I have my own probate group on Facebook, Probate Weekly. I'd love to have you participate there. We have about 3,600 members. And feel free to post your probate-related content there to get more views and more likes and all that good stuff. I'm Bill Gross at Bill Gross Probate. Thanks so much for participating today. Make today your best day ever. Thanks so much.